Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
Yeah, this is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. And lots to get to this week. The Billboard Hot 100's top 10, as always. We're going to look at who's number one on the Billboard 200, too, because the artist at number one is all over the Hot 100's top 10. Pretty historic week. Plus, we're going to go alternative this week. Kevin Rutherford, Billboard's rock chart manager. And I went over to Alt 92.3, a radio station here in New York last week, to chat with Mike Kaplan, station's program director. So that interview is coming up. It's part of our coverage of the 30th anniversary of Billboard's alternative songs chart, which began this time of the year back in 1988, before you were born, Trevor. It actually started the Saturday after my first week in high school. That's how long ago it was. All right, here's this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let it fly. Number 10.
Let it fly like the birds in the sky. Hotter than the weather in July. Hotter than so much I can decide.
Word Number 9.
Say you never ever leave from beside me, cause I want you and I need you, and I'm down for you always. KB, do you love me? Are you
see you want me, see you want me.
Number 8.
And I'm just a dead man walking tonight, but you need it, yeah you need it all of this time, yeah.
Fuck though, where the love go? 5, 4, 3, 2, I let one go.
Number 7.
Get the fuck though. I don't bluff, bro. Aiming at your head like a buffalo. You a roughneck, I'm a cutthroat. You a tough guy.
Back in high school, I used to bust it to the dance. Now I hit the FBO with duffels in my hands.
Number 6.
I did half a Xan, 13 hours till I land. Had me out like a light, like a light, like a
light. Number 5.
Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love and I hate you, and I cannot change you, so I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done.
I see niggas in this bitch stuntin', popping bottles.
Number 2.
Getting drunk with these bitches, and when they leave, they get followed. Fall asleep with that bitch and really don't know much about her. Then she let us in, we take all of your shit.
You gotta find you, me, do what I want when I come through. I
and number 1.
Right, and that is the nice rundown of top 10 songs this week. If you are a fan of Lil Wayne, that is probably going to be as good a top 10 countdown as you could hope for. But before we segue into the return of Weezy F. Baby, we got to talk about Maroon 5, number one, 3 weeks. The song is called Girls Like You and features our friend and pretty prolific hit maker, Cardi B.
It's actually pretty historic on the radio songs chart. The song's now been number one for 11 weeks, and that ties for the longest leading song on that chart this century, in the 2000s and 2010s, by a group or duo with the Chainsmokers' Closer. And 11 weeks. You have to go back for 13 weeks at number one for the last longer leading number one by a duo or group. It was No Scrubs by TLC. So we're talking almost 20 years, and it just kind of tells you how big a hit this has been. Even though it was blocked by Drake, top of the Hot 100, it's been a huge radio song hit, really one of the biggest radio hits in the 2000s and 2010s. The other part of that, you can make the case that No Scrubs is the biggest radio hit ever, because... Here's how I do that. 13 weeks.
Hold on to your hats for this one, folks.
Take you into my process. 13 weeks at number one for TLC, and then 12 weeks at number one last year for Shape of You, Ed Sheeran, which interpolates part of No Scrubs. So 13 weeks and 12 weeks, 25. In a way, 25 weeks at number one for No Scrubs. That's a record.
Okay, I tried to do like a quick vocabulary check. Is it interpolates? Is that what it does?
Well, it's not quite a sample. And I'm not sure that's exactly the word, but...
Is it just like... It was considered... Lists, borrows?
It was considered so similar that writing credit had to go to some of the writers. So...
Okay.
Yeah, so, but it's part of it. If you combine them, the record for radio songs most weeks at number one is Iris, 18 weeks by Goo Goo Dolls. So 25 weeks combined for all versions of No Scrubs. Biggest radio hit of all time?
Well, Shakespeare and Candy and crew found a winning formula. Not William Shakespeare, but Kevin Shakespeare Briggs.
Anyone named Shakespeare is a good writer.
Okay, since I cannot top that beautiful one-liner, I'll do the next best thing and move on to a new topic. So we'll go from number one down to number two, where we have a brand new song debuting at number two. You guys heard it a little while ago. That is the song Mona Lisa by Lil Wayne and Kendrick Lamar. So, big week for Lil Wayne, obviously. I mean, really, more than the fact that of what the album did, the fact that the album that many people, I think, thought may never see the light of day, The Carter Five, is not only out, but it is making a huge impact across the Billboard charts this week. Debuts at number one on the Billboard 200, 480,000 equivalent album units, so pretty close to that 500,000 mark. And the second best streaming week we've ever seen, only outdone by who else? Drake, Scorpion, earlier this year. So shift over to the Hot 100. All that impact from everybody streaming all these Wayne tracks starts at the top with Mona Lisa, number two debut. But also in the top five, we got another Wayne song at number five, a song with XXXTentacion called Don't Cry, which... We need like some sort of alarm bell or some. We need some sort of like gadget or gizmo that lets people know that, like, you know, ding, 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 there's a chart record happening right in your very ears right now.
How about that?
Next time, Gary, next time.
No notice. That was pretty good.
First artist to debut two songs in the top five. But we've had a couple artists do it in the span of the top 10. Ed Sheeran, J. Cole, Post Malone, Drake, but nobody has been able to get them as high as Lil Wayne, two songs in the top five. We've also got two more in the top 10, Uproar at number seven, and we got Let It Fly with our friend Travis Scott at number 10. You just start at the top with the anticipation, from my point of view, particularly because it's not just a new Wayne album, but it is, you know, Carter Five. So it is the continuation of this franchise we've been hooked and used to for well over a decade now.
I was going to say, the reboot culture that we're in, this totally plays into that. I think that's a part of it too.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, obviously it's not a reboot per se, but yeah, the continuation of something that we've known and been accustomed to, and how great the previous Carter albums were. So there is that, and you know, it's not that this has been any sort of non-publicized thing. Everyone knows about the battle that he's had with Birdman and all the money that's gone back and forth and all the issues that have been there. So that sort of builds the drama in particular, because, you know, as with a lot of albums, you know, is that going to be addressed? Are there going to be shots taken? You know, what's going to be, what is the response going to be in the music about this album that took so long to make it onto the scene? And then, yeah, I think part of that, as we've seen with a lot of albums this year, the sort of surprise guest list always gets people going. I mean, no surprise, of course, that Mona Lisa is doing the best because, I mean, Kendrick Lamar is, you know, decently selective on what he does now. The biggest star in hip-hop in terms of, you know, critical appreciation, and his commercial success is obviously massive, especially with this last album. So, yeah, and then you run the roster down of, yeah, you've got Nicki, you've got Drake to an extent, you've got Travis, XXX, you know, even though he was not an established player in that same league, but we know, I mean, even just in the past five, six months right before his death and the immediate aftermath, we've seen that, I mean, that's a guy who's just as relevant as ever in this discussion, this huge figure that I think a lot of us sort of underestimated how big his shadow and the long tail was going to be. So that obviously makes a big case. And then, yeah, you've got someone from the old guard in Wayne, someone from the new guard in XXS coming together. And, you know, that's something that is really going to intrigue a lot of people. So, yeah, you put all that together, all those elements coming around, and, yeah, you're bound to get something explosive as this.
Yeah, for Mona Lisa being so big, I'm not sure it's Kendrick Lamar is the reason. I think it's the lyric where mentioned Milli Vanilli. They're back on the chart at number two. Milli Vanilli is mentioned in Mona Lisa.
So silly, I smoke color purple. I'm up in here feeling like silly. Ooh, nappy ass dress. What's that you say? Watch your mouth, Milli Vanilli. Ooh, you can get snakes. You can get fakes.
Is that what you think did it?
There are no wrong answers.
I'll give them maybe 2%, and that's generous.
All right, let's get into the 30th anniversary of Billboard's Alternative Songs chart. So that's on Billboard.com. So much content about that. Not going to give spoilers here as to who's the top act and who has the number one song. If you want to go look, we'll leave that for you to discover. But we have the top 300 songs list, the top 100 songs artist ranking, so we can check all that out. It's really great to look back at how the alternative format has evolved from 1988 when the chart started to today. So that's what Kevin Rutherford, our rock chart manager, and I went to discuss with Mike Kaplan, program director of Alt-92.3 Radio here in New York. Station signed on about a year ago. It was November 17th. 2017. Mike joined about 6 months ago as program director, and station is growing really nicely ratings wise. So we wanted to get into the state of alternative, where it's been, where it's going, and who better to talk about that with than the person running the alternative station here in New York. So Mike Kaplan, Kevin Rutherford from Billboard, and me coming up here on the Billboard Sharpie podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
While I'm here, I feel like I'm going to take the opportunity, since I'm talking to a program director of the Alt station in New York. I could just do the whole podcast could just be me pitching Pale Waves.
Wow.
Alternative band.
Of course. Good band. Yeah. Good band. We actually dabbled with their track a few months ago, and it's really cool. Yeah, it's shocking sometimes to me that, you know, that some of this music that is, it's so powerful, yet it doesn't necessarily always resonate, or at least quick enough. I think we're in such a, you know, the world is running by us so quickly, and we need to stop and just really absorb more of what's with us at that moment. But that was one of those that got away.
I don't know. I could keep talking. Kevin, do you have any picks that you want to be totally biased about?
Kitten, actually. I think y'all played a little bit there too for a while.
A while back. Yep.
Yeah. So just a lot of good bands.
You guys
out
are going
there.
Deep. It's nice. Well,
that's the thing. It's like there's so much good stuff out there right now. It's tough to, you know, some really great stuff is kind of missing out sometimes, right. I feel like.
Well, obviously, the stuff you are playing, Mike, is doing really well. Just looking at the ratings, 1.9 in overall audience to a 2.8 in the past 6 months. That's when you got here. So a lot of credit.
Thank you.
Embarrassing, but it seems like a lot of credit should go to you.
Well, you know, and I think what it comes down to is knowing what the power of radio and what our strength is. And it is about playing hits. And, it takes time. It takes time. Everyone's got distractions, and it's a noisy world. And, you know, we're part of that world. We're certainly a big part of that. But I think the challenge is making sure that we don't push too hard, too many songs, too quickly. We're a more discerning audience. I think we're you know, the top 40 world, the CHR world, is a lot more disposable. And come and go. And we're, you know, in and out. We take our time. We like to see bands develop and artists have careers. Yes, it doesn't throw away the disposable. We have to have some of that guilty pleasure as well. But I think we're a little bit more, focused on building the bigger picture and really having a relationship with some of these artists. But it is about writing hits and playing the hits.
I feel like historically, the alternative format was kind of more, maybe if you just discovered something, you were putting it on the air immediately and seeing what happens. And it's a different world now. Radio is more corporate. Is alternative kind of like every other format where you have to play the hits? Or is there still that independent spirit to alternative?
I think there's a lot of independent spirit. We, I worked for iHeart, which is one of the bigger companies out there. Of course, Entercom now is the big number two. We all have, especially in this format, we all have to take risk and discover and curate our playlist. It's not as maybe perceived as corporate because we have all the different digital options now, the platforms that, you know, you can go on Spotify, create your own playlist, and you can make it as deep as you want. But that's a very personalized list, right? And it's everyone has an opinion. Music is very, subjective. So in that respect, we still need to look broad and be as broad as your market allows or as narrow as it dictates. And with all the competition that we have, and not just the digital space that we're competing against, but certainly with the terrestrial world, we need to fine-tune. We need to focus. But we still have the liberty and the ability to reach in, and it's art versus science, and reach in and look out of discover what's coming up. We have to look at our partners, our label partners. We have to look at the artist management partners that we have. We have to look at their focus game plans. You know, what's their big marketing plan? What's their push? They're going to be doing the late night shows. They're going to be doing the rounds. Maybe there's a sync deal. Maybe there's something going on a larger level. We need to be, working together to cut through all that clutter that is out there. And people have a limited time. Let's give them the best of the best. And what we perceive is what's coming up as what's next. And then it's up to, it's them to tell us, through our research, our streams, our sales, and what our brothers and sisters in the terrestrial and digital world are doing, and how those songs are responding, and then we can either stick with it or move on.
I feel like y'all were one of the ones that were pretty early on King Princess,
mm-hmm.
if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Are there some other acts that you can kind of remember so far? I know you haven't been here very long, but that you feel like you guys were pretty early on. And is there anybody coming down the pipe that you think could be that next King Princess or an act like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, we look at, there's a Jaguar Twin, mm-hmm. and the song Loser that we just popped on. And, there was really, we were literally the first station in the country to play. And we heard about it. We saw that and felt that with the lyrical content and just the composition itself. It was like, that's something that hopefully we can take and generate some earballs, and some interest to. So we'll see what happens there. King Princess, we saw the streams, just the enormous amount of streams and her passionate following. And so we thought, it may be a little pop leaning, but I think today we are a little bit more in have a pop sensibility to us, more so than maybe, 10, 15 years ago, where it was more on the aggro active side. So we looked at that. And then another one would be Dennis Lloyd, another one that just had phenomenal streams. And I don't know if you can really fit, where does he go? What format does that fit with? But that's what's the beauty of alternative. If you don't know, well, maybe that means it's us. And we really don't have a descriptor of who we are. We come from, we look at all genres and all possibilities. We just want what's, again, half step ahead of the curve. We don't want to go too far ahead. We don't want to be too artsy and cool for the room, because that's you'll go back to a one share.
Yeah, I still think it's kind of weird, but then not really, that Marshmello is in the top 10 right now, the alternative chart, with Bastille, but that kind of really shows you where alternative is right now.
When I listen, the consumer's not always looking at the RDS display or not always Shazamming. You know, they just want to get a vibe and a feel. They're in a mood. They go to a certain station. And believe me, we share, you know, audience with the CHRs of the world. It's just natural. When they're in a mood for us, they're going to come to us. And when they sit down and listen to us as a whole, what are they hearing? When I hear that song, I hear a Bastille song. That's right. Dan. That's completely him with a little bit. When I hear the Coldplay Chainsmokers song, that is Chris Martin. So it's what this sonically. What are you getting from that? Is that your core? And Dan Bastille started an alternative. Coldplay certainly did too. And they haven't crossed over the threshold and become uncool either at this point. If anything,
right.
Marshmello, I don't know. Maybe it's just a gimmick and it's kind of a cool one, but it doesn't take it down to the level of selling out. And by the way, what is a sellout anymore? You know, 20, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 25, whatever, if an alternative artist like Pearl Jam would have put a sync deal together or maybe did something that was a little bit more corporate looking, they would have been looked at as a sellout. But today, we all want our artists to make money somehow. The sales are dwindling, weekly. And it's how can we help them make money and be part of the bigger picture? And we still own that. Hey, they're coming from our ilk over here. Right. They're kind of cool. We're championing them to the world.
Let's talk about signing on a new radio station in New York City. I know you've worked in LA before, so you know about programming in big markets. But how do you get the attention of listeners in New York when you say we've got something brand new?
Yeah, I think. People forget the power of radio, and people scan the dial. People are always, chatter word of mouth. And that was one of the big things that I think people, they just found us to start with. But we also kicked off a big Billboard campaign. Billboards are always a great way to, deliver new products and to awareness of consumers.
Not us Billboard, but billboards you see on...
Not you're right, not your Billboard.
Which is where the name comes
.com.
From, but yeah, right.
So that was a big help. And marketing, for many years, radios from a lot of the big companies, they were over-leveraged and they didn't market. And it's kind of radio didn't do what, we go out to the clients, hey, you got to market your product. Radio failed to do that based upon being over-leveraged. That's not this company. This company was never over leveraged. We market, and we're putting it out there that we're here. So it's been wonderful. The feedback we're getting is like, oh my God, it's been missing all these years. Alternative is back. Thank God. Thank you for being there. So we have a lot of passion for this music in this city that was very underserved for many years.
Yeah, you look at the history of alternative in the last decade, it's kind of spotty. After K-Rock, right on this frequency, that went away. You had RXP for a mm-hmm. little bit, which was kind of experimental. And I think a lot of industry people liked it, but
yes.
Somehow that never quite translated.
Well, K-Rock was mostly Stern. I love Stern, and I grew up listening to him, and I thought, one of the best entertainers this business will ever see, one of the best interviewers, and he unfortunately overshadowed the music aspect of that radio station.
Right.
So when he went away, it was, what is this station? What's it about? And I think the teams at the time, the programming teams, couldn't figure it out either. And then RXP comes along, you're right, and they had a little bit better idea of what alternative meant, what truly alternative meant for the city.
Right.
At the same time, I think you said, you know, it was very experimental. They went from playing, I remember listening, playing Passion Pit into a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more, I don't know what that, it's eclectic. And eclectic is, again, a one share. And it's cool, but cool worked in the diary days of Arbitron Nielsen. In the PPM days, where we really truly measure not just perceived listenership, but real measure of listenership, that doesn't fly.
Here in like in New York City, because I know obviously you came from the West Coast before this,
mm-hmm.
right? What do you feel like you've been doing here that is possibly different than what you were doing over there? Like maybe something that works here but didn't work on the West Coast or vice versa?
I think the biggest challenge here for us, and I'm from Philadelphia originally, so I'm an East Coast guy, and so I I've always born and raised on loving pop and alternative, and you know, the LIR days, which just out here in Long Island, which was, you know, very historic big radio station, you know, they also went to the LIR DRE was simulcast in Philadelphia for many years. Enjoyed listening to that. The West Coast, what I feel the West Coast though is more adventurous on new music, alternative music, than the East Coast. We're a little safer here, and so coming here from the West Coast, it's and again, just putting the station together, it's pulling back and putting enough gold product, enough of the familiar product from the 90s and early zeros and mid zeros, and putting that together with some of the new, and not exposing too much new at any one time. It just, you know, again, there hasn't been a station here in 6 years, so you know, people are telling me, well, I don't understand, you're playing Bastille into Green Day, is that alternative? Well, yeah, it is for today. But there hasn't been a definition of alternative in anyone's mind here for so many years that let's ease them into helping understand what this is today. And again, if you weren't listening to, you know, if you were just listening to radio, you know, you really didn't get exposed to some of the MGMTs and some of the songs of the past, maybe, you know, 5-6 years that were really big in this world.
And that's kind of, it's interesting that you mention gold songs, because that's something I kind of wanted to ask about with regards to kind of the changing sound of alternative in the last couple years. That's something that I feel like people don't talk about as much, where it's like, okay, obviously, like what we're playing current-wise is shifting, but even like gold songs, I mean, you can't necessarily just sit here and play 3 Days Grace anymore.
No, you're right.
What kind of songs have like kind of popped back up for you that, you know, you maybe didn't play for a while in your library?
And that's a great point. When you look back at the history of alternative, I mean, you can go back to the 80s, and where, you know, really the rock of the 80s was alternative, right? With whether it was the Depeche Modes and Cures and what have you that were starting to underground and bubble up, some of the goth rock and all that stuff. But it had its own synth-based kind of sound, but very melodic. And very critical mass appeal, male, females could agree. Alternative has always been at its best when men and women agree together. And it can have a little bit more guitar-driven, like Nirvana's and Pearl Jam's. It could, but that was also married with the Cranberries and Gin Blossoms. So it was all very melodic, very, very critical mass. I like to say gender agnostic. So you move into the late 90s, and there is this really aggressive male presence, and maybe the sign of the times. Maybe we, you know, 9/11. We were just maybe a little more angst driven, and maybe we our economy was, you know, flipping around a little bit, and whatever it was, the guitar oriented rock, the really heavy screamo rock was more apparent. And when you look at Korn and Limp Bizkit, and then trying to put Natalie Merchant, you know, and the softer AC, you know, softer side of alternative on together, You lost people, so you had stations. Many stations had to pick a side, and so I think that was the doldrums of this format in that era. When alternative started making a renaissance, that was, I think, in the mid to later 2000s, when again whether it's Mumford meets MGMT, like I just mentioned, meets Passion Pit, meets Fun. Some of these artists that started over alternative, but again, what are they? They're pop sensibility, but yet they're a little smarter, more discerning at the early stages, and you know, they had lyrical content that had something meant something for the most part. So we saw a return to that male female agreeability, There was nothing as polarizing on the format at that point. And so that's, I feel really good about, you know, this is where we need to be, and we need to take the music from that era where it was non-polarizing. It was men and women could agree, whether it's Third Eye Blind and No Doubt of the past, into Blink 182 and Jimmy Eat World, into today's Foster the People, Imagine Dragons, what have you, that kind of ilk. Again, that's the coalition we're building here. And, it, you know, 18 to you know, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, they love that sound. They all agree that's the sound of what they feel alternative should be. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Green Day's in the mix too, of course.
Yeah, all I know is that when I first heard the station, I think the first song I ever heard you play was White Town, mm-hmm. Your Woman. And I was just like, yep. Okay, yeah, this is going to be a good yep. station right,
right
here.
Right, fun, right?
You talk about rock going forward, and we've always had a lot of crossover from rock to top 40, and it feels like maybe somewhere in the 2000s when rock got so hard, we just stopped
yes.
having that kind of crossover.
And 100%.
It really hasn't come back even to this point. Imagine Dragons, a little once in a while, there's a Shut Up and Dance, stuff like that. But is that an issue for rock going forward, that maybe it's not going to get that same mass appeal that it did in the past?
There are cycles of music, right? We've all seen it. My question with that is a great question, because, you know, with the advent of everyone having a computer program to create their own music, a lot of that's more electronic based.
Right.
It's not that you're not going to Guitar Center and buying those guitars anymore and electric and plugging in, and it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Where you can just go online and create your own material. And so I think that's changed the face of music, and obviously the younger end is what, you know, they're creating what's next, and always have and always will. And so does that heavier, aggressive sound ever come back? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And maybe we, as a society, we get angry again and want that. But right now it's, you know, and so I attribute some of that to just the osmosis of what we're producing in our own bedrooms.
And the stuff that is at the moment, Lovely the Band Broken, mm-hmm. is crossover. That's not guitar heavy, but
no. And even the even like Imagine Dragons, whoever's using guitars, it's all filtered down a little bit. It's with synth and what have you. It's not as it's not the, you know, the White Stripes aggressive, you know, raw sound that. Well, I love Jack White. I love seeing him, at a show. And but it's, you know, it's just not what's working today.
Absolutely no solos. That's definitely not a thing.
No guitar solos.
No guitar
right.
solos. Yeah,
it's done for now.
Do you go to a lot of shows, Mike? And you get a pulse of what people are saying about the station when you're there?
I was Panorama, I think I was going to, and I heard somebody talking about winning tickets in the subway on 92.3, and I'm like, whoa, this is cool. I definitely get the feedback from people in the business, of course, what they're saying, and friends in the area, feedback on texts, feedback on the calls, and you know, radio doesn't get many calls anymore because it's all, but we get texts. But when we do get the calls, it's for contesting, and then they just spill their beat, you know, they spill everything.
Right.
Like, we love you. You know, it's wonderful to hear that. That's there's still a passion for music and radio, and that's, I think. The other thing that's been so overblown is the death of radio. It's like with all the digital, you know, pure plays and all the options. And you know, I get that. And there's always going to be that. I mean, back in the day, you make cassette tapes or whatever. I mean, it's a lot easier, though, to listen to music than ever before. So more people are being influenced by it. But, you know, radio still cumes, you know, we have 93% of the weekly audience. And that hasn't changed for years. It's still a lot of earballs coming in. And it's free, and above all, it's community, right? It's companionship. And as long as we have the talent and the programs and the entertainers that we put on air and bring that companionship to the audience, we're never going away. That's the key. And that beats any of the pure, I'll just put a song on. I mean, that's we need that sometimes,
right.
But we need a human soul on the other end to kind of help us get through that day and help us relate and bring it all together.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the industry, we're so close to all these streaming services and being up on the latest thing that sometimes I kind of wonder if we forget that most people aren't listening to music with that maybe same level of intensity, and they just want to put something on in the car when they're driving.
It's so true. It's, you know, we are, and I, you know, kind of a strange way, we're the concierge desk. You know, you go to the new hotel, you're asking, okay, what's the best, where's the best, you know, steakhouse in town or what have you. You know, at some point, you don't want to do all the work. At some point, you right. know, I'm busy. I have my life out here. I've got the stress of work. I've got the stress of schoolwork. I've got the stress of what have you, my family. I just want to, you know, somebody to tell me what's really good. And they want someone to trust with that product. And, you know, in the alternative world, we need to be the tastemaker, and they need to trust us and believe that we are giving them the best of the best and cutting through all the other clutter out there and just laying it out for them.
In terms of research and streaming, years ago you had call-out research. You'd call people and play hooks for them on the phone. Mm-hmm. Do you still do that?
Mm-hmm.
Still?
Well, it's different. It's different. We use online research now. It's okay. It's so much easier than, you know. But you know, they listen online at their convenience, and it's they give us their feedback.
In terms of what's streaming in New York and nationally, how do you look at streaming? Is it a competition, or is it it's another thing people are doing, and you're going to use that in terms of you can use it for research?
Yeah, I love it. No, it's part of the arsenal. It's there's a lot of tools that we look at, and that's what's wonderful with the digital, you know, influence of you know, streams, Shazam. You look at we still look at sales and the Billboard charts and all that. We look at research. We look at our own. We have Control Alt Delete. It's a feature that we do with people that asking them to text in when we play new songs and, you know, like or text dislike. And we see that feedback. And it's a way to, again, get a gauge. It's not, you know, I don't think what I'm trying to find is a coalition. You know, I don't think there's any one of those elements that alone should dictate. That's you know, I think we need to look at all the different elements out there and see what's working in harmony, and then put it through our filter and put it through our ears, and again use our what our background is. We all in this radio station, all the people that are being hired are all seasoned pros or people that have had such passions and have an understanding of what this all means here and what we're trying to achieve. And from that, then that's the art, right? Blending with the science. That's the art. We have to say, okay, this is what should stick or should go on next.
We talk about the connection radio has. So the other side is what's in between the music is the air staff. What do you look for in an alternative personality? And is it different than other four? I always like on an alternative station when I hear someone who sounds a little bit left to center, kind of like the music.
Yeah, I try to build a team of mindsets that are completely different yet all unified. We all have to agree that we're. I want to be, again, half step ahead of the curve, a little more discerning, a little smarter than in our delivery or reverent in what we how we approach things, you know. So that's kind of the team I like to build and the mindset here, but they still have to have their own flavor. They have to, you know, yeah, I can have someone that's a really into music connoisseur. I can have someone that's, you know, maybe a foodie over here, or just, yeah, I want people to entertain. I want them to make us think differently and you know, be positive and, you know, look at the, you know, with the glass half full.
Future going forward of the station, like what are you hoping for? Any particular goals?
Yeah, I want to dominate. I want to be the, you know, we will be the alternative station that sticks around for decades here in the city. This is going away. We're going to do it right. I don't believe alternatives, you know, as I said before, has ever been done right here. I want to dominate in the alternative space. I want to continue to build the talent on this radio station. I want to continue to make us a relevant source for finding what's next and left of center, yet still being, you know, entertaining and critical mass and fun sometimes and serious at others and just, you know, the whole realm. I want people to feel engaged by this, by radio and by this station in this city. This is a wonderful city for radio. You know, and we're going to make everyone proud that we're part of this the community.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Oh, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Mike
Kaplan on the Billboard Sharpie podcast, Kevin Rutherford and I over at Alt 92.3. So yeah, it was the Entercom building. WCBS FM is one of the stations there, and I totally geeked out in the elevator. We're leaving, and every day on the drive to the train station, I flip around. But in the morning show, one of the stations I stop on is CBS FM. Scott Shannon and Patty Steele, they host that in the morning. So we're in the elevator, and I saw some. I'm like, you know, I think that's Patty Steele. I think that's her, but I wasn't quite sure. She was talking to someone, and just as I said to myself, I think that's her, I'm not sure. She literally said to the person she was talking to, "Oh, I'll have to talk about that on the air tomorrow." So, nice little clue. So I assumed it was her. I never got to talk to her. She was talking to someone the whole time. I didn't want to hang around and be all weird after, why is this guy staring at me? But
yeah, especially in this day and age, you don't want that on your soul.
If she's wondering who this guy was staring at her in the elevator, it was me. I'm a fan, so. Cool. I still think it's a big deal to see someone from radio in person. So, 30th anniversary of the Alternative Songs Chart. This is not your format, Trevor. Is that fair to say?
Not only is it fair, it's true.
So, if you look at this list of the top 300 songs of all time, any songs stand out to you all?
This is
on a playlist of mine. I really like this song.
On a playlist of mine. I mean, of course, you know, Portugal the Man, crossover hits.
So you know, a pop hit from last year into this year,
of course. And you look at some of the big Green Day hits of American Idiot era and on, when they became, you know, really hit a new level in terms of mass popularity. I mean, this I'm sure somebody's screaming, why does he work there? REM, I know Losing My Religion, that's about as far as I go with that. Beck, I know Beck beat Beyonce for the Album of the Year Grammy.
All right, hey, whatever your reference is, as long as you know.
Yeah. Okay, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill is a fantastic album, so I do know all those songs from it at least. But I mean, I guess at this point, that's not like, is that almost like, it's almost, is that alternative anymore? Is that just kind of,
that'd
be
pretty pop.
If it came out today, it feels like it would be pretty safe, right? Yeah, this is. That was kind of painful. Ned's Atomic Dustbin. I mean, yeah. I just feel like this is a whole. I guess that's what alternative is. But it feels like if you sort of on a mainstream genre, like, you know, I'm sure there are people who have mainstream country who know rap, who integrate. You know, those sort of can cross a little easier. Well, but
a lot of these songs,
alternative, it's like its own. Yeah. Well,
a lot of these songs were so quirky, and that's what the genre is, that they really out their names like that, and their songs were just too weird for pop radio, so they didn't cross over. And I think that's why people kind of like them too, because it's sort of they never quote sold out, they never got to that point where kind of like you said, Losing My Religion, REM, everyone knows it, so these bands kind of keep that cult status, and I think a lot of people like that. It just it's still theirs, so they don't have to share it. New Order, Regret?
No.
That's a great song. XTC, Mayor of Simpleton?
No.
Love that song. Ironic, number 164 of the all time.
Yeah.
Robin Hitchcock, So You Think You're in Love, 1991. So you think you're in love.
Dog.
Sinead O'Connor, but not Nothing Compares to You, Emperor's New Clothes, the follow. They got a southern case of the Emperor's New Clothes. The Emperor's New Clothes. The Emperor's New Clothes. The Emperor's New Clothes. Nope. Great song. All right, I'm going to close with maybe my favorite song in the entire top 300 songs list. Again, it's on billboard.com. You can see at the top 300 alternative songs of all time over the last 30 years, top 100 artists. We'll be back next week. We'll see what Gaga does on the Hot 100. with Bradley Cooper, the soundtrack, A Star is Born, debuting, with all these Lil Wayne songs probably dropping on the Hot 100, is Maroon 5. Still going to be number one. We didn't talk about Juice WRLD with Lucid Dreams. Could maybe rebound and have a chance to go to number one.
Boy, wouldn't that be a long tail story?
Yeah. All right, we'll find out next week on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast. I'm going to close with Gin Blossoms. Found out about you. You've heard about the Gin Blossoms?
I heard of them. Enjoy as I listen to my very first Gin Blossoms song, Found Out About You.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.